everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. Stay tuned for tonight's special report on famine coming to America when we come back. Well, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. That's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view. Here's what he said in Matthew 24, verse 22. He said that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Unquote. Now, that's not our only problem. There are 64 of these life-threatening problems described in the scripture detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. And the scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not just apathy and indifference. So that's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, all of these philosophers, preachers, and politicians. Now, if you'd like to do just that, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call right now and order yours. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine, send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, this program is on compact disc. It's our subsistence and survival school. It's available on compact disc for adult home study. Remember that number for that free CD package. Now it's area code 417-273-4967. Or go to the webpage and georgegordon.org, click onto the email and send an email request. All right, last time we were talking about this thing, a famine, acute famine. I mean famine like you've never heard or seen or heard tell of in Deuteronomy 28. If you'll remember that story, it talks about cannibalism, and cannibalism not where you're eating your neighbor down the street or your next door neighbor or some stranger, but rather you're eating your own children. Now, boys and girls, long before you are reduced to eating your own children, you will be eating your neighbor's children and your neighbors and your neighbor's neighbors. I mean, if I was going to eat my own kid, I think I'd eat your kid first. I think before I ate your kid first, I'd probably eat you. Now, just mull that over a little bit, because I didn't write this. I'm just a reporter. I'm just here to tell you. This is what God said you are going to be reduced to in this siege, in this trade war. When this event transpires, when we get to the point where the second coming is imminent, and it's not imminent, not now, the Wailing Wall is still there. I showed you that a couple days ago. As long as there's one stone left on another, you can sit back and relax. But those stones are coming down one of these days. Those Jews over there are planning on rebuilding the temple. They're planning on removing the Dome of the Rock. I can assure you, when they remove the Dome of the Rock to build the temple, all hell's going to break loose. You can rest assured that 1.2 billion Arabs are going to go ballistic. Well, that's 1.2 billion Muslims are going to go ballistic. And you can rest assured that the Arabs, I think there's about 150 million of them, are going to go ballistic first, right there. Yeah, that's going to stir up a little hate and discontent. Now, the Chinese are up and coming. Those people have been held down for centuries, and they're up and coming. They are developing an economy. They need oil. And do you know where the oil is located? Right there in the Middle East. Now, we're reaching peak oil, and do you know that the United States needs that oil? A confrontation is underway right now between China and America over the dwindling means of survival. So if you take a look at the amount of crop land, the amount of water that's left in the aquifers, you take a look at population growth, and you take a look at international geopolitics, you take a look at the economy, and all of it tells you that it's coming to an end. It's all coming to a climax, and all about the same time. Peak oil, the Oklahoma aquifer. Population's going to double over the next 50 years. I mean, you know, these are just the numbers that you can get right off the web. I didn't dream them up. When we get this information here, we just go out and search for it and pull it together and give it to you. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 6, which is where we were, we finished Ezekiel 5. Now, Ezekiel 6 comes in there as a backup to Ezekiel 5, and it's got a little more to tell us about the destruction of America. And when America goes down, you Australians can rest assured that the Chinese are going to be after you next. The only thing that keeps Canada, Australia, and New Zealand from being attacked by Japan or China or Russia or somebody else and swallowed up is the United States of America. If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't be there. They'd have already eaten your lunch. You know, there's only about 20 million or 30 million of you Australians and about 30 million Canadians. I don't know how many people live in New Zealand, but it's not very many. And you happen to occupy some pretty neat pieces of real estate. Our God gave us those pieces of real estate, not because we did anything special, but because we're the heirs and the signs forever of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, came from Moses. We were entitled to it as a birthright, and we've collected it, and then we went out and polluted it and screwed it up, and now we're giving our God the finger. He calls it putting the branch to my nose. And in Ezekiel chapter 6, he goes on and he says, here's what I'm going to do to you. Now, if you thought this is sweet Jesus away somewhere, you know, going to forgive you and welcome you into heaven, you know, I got news for you. This is a different guy. You haven't heard about this guy before. You've been going to church and listening to some pulpit parrot over there tell you about some sweet Jesus. This guy, he's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a nice guy. But he won't take any BS off of you at all. None. Zero. Zilch. So you might as well make up your mind to it. He's not gonna kiss your you-know-what. And if you get uppity with him, he's going to eat your lunch and tune you up. Now listen to this. He says in verse 1, chapter 6, I'm in Ezekiel here. He says, the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, he says, son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel. Now a mountain is a nation. It's a country. Remember, we have to code plead this out. If you want to check me out on this, look up the word mountain and mountains in the Bible and see how many references are to mountains as nations. Yeah, that's true. A mountain is a mound of dirt. And when you take a look in the Bible, you'll see mound of dirt. But you'll also see that it's used in the context of mountains in a code, which means nation. All right, that being the case, and say, you mountains of Israel, you nations of Israel, there's 10 of us, hear the word of the Eternal, your God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you. Now, a sword is war. If you want to check that out, look up the word sword, and then check out in Strong's Concordance. Now, this is where you go. You look up the word sword in Strong's Concordance, and go down through there, and you'll have a lot of definitions, and a lot of different numbers that go with the words, and you'll find cross references where God uses the term sword. I'm going to bring the sword upon you. I'm going to bring war upon you. Okay, what we're talking about here is war is coming. We saw that in chapter 5. He said, divide these hairs into three groups. And then war is one of those three groups. Now, remember that little group, that little binding? He said, take a few of these hairs and bind them in your skirt. Now, there's a few people that are going to be saved out of this. People who obey God and keep His commandments. Not very many. Just a few. Elijah said one time, as in 1 Kings chapter 18, he said, "I'm the last man in Israel to practice this law, and they seek my life." And God said, No. I've reserved 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed their knee to Baal. There are 7,000 of you Australians down there that have not bowed your knee to Baal. I don't know who you are, but there's that many. Over in New Zealand, I'll just bet you got another 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And then I'll bet you that there's 7,000 in the United States. And when you add all these up from all these Israelite countries, I'll bet you you're going to come up with about 144,000. That'd be my guess. In the book of Revelation, there's a story in there about 144,000, 12,000 from each of the tribes, and that he says that he's going to save. Now, I think that that's referring to this skirt that Ezekiel's talking about. You're going to save a few hairs out. That's not the majority, boys and girls. That's just 1 in 100. And if you want to be that 1 in 100, you're going to have to practice this law. If you don't want to practice this law, that's fine. No problem. No problem. There's plenty of room for you in a hole in the ground someplace when you're dead. Then he goes and he says, "Behold, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I'll destroy your high places." High places. You know, like the capital of the United States and the capital building in Salem, Oregon. "And your altars shall be desolate, your images shall be broken. I'll cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars." All right. Now, an altar is a place where you do sacrifice. And your temples are your state capitals. And the altars are in those state capitals where your politicians make your laws, and you worship those gods of Missouri and Oklahoma and Arizona by obeying and practicing those laws. You practice the laws of Monsanto, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Department of Agriculture. You eat, you buy, and you use hybrid seeds in violation of the law in Leviticus 19:19. You eat fat in McDonald's in violation of Leviticus 3, verse 17. I mean, there's 133 of these laws. And every time you violate one of those laws, every time your state legislatures or your national legislature enacts law for you, like you shall have 30% fat in your hamburger, 40% fat in your bologna, and then you go into Kroger's and Safeway's and you buy those Oscar Mayer weenies with the 40% fat, and you're an accessory before and after the fact. I mean, come on, guys. Pay attention now. Now, our God told us not to do that. We give Him the finger. We do it anyway. We pay a penalty. And He says, "I got news for you, troops. I'm going to bring a famine on you. You're going to be ending up eating your own children." You know, my common sense says, you know, it's time for us to back off now. I think we pushed the old man about as far as we're going to push him. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I used to push my old man. And then he gave me that special look, you know, one more utterance out of your lips, punk, and I'm going to come unraveled. And I would read that in his face. See? Kind of reminded me, you know, if I was sitting in a bar and a bunch of dirty, grubby, long-haired, Harley Davidson riding Hell's Angels with tattoos all over them come walking into the bar, you know, I think I'd shut my mouth and zip my lip about dirty Hell's Angels with long hair and earrings in their ear. I think I'd shut up. I think I'd look the other way. And I think that's about where we're at with the old man here, boys and girls. I think, you know, that we've given him the finger long enough, and that we've screwed around about long enough. And now maybe it's time to sit down, shut up, fold our hands and do what we're told for a change. I don't know about you, but I'm just suggesting that maybe there's a change that we ought to be thinking about. Now, he says, in all of your dwelling places, this is verse 6. Now, we're in Ezekiel 6, verse 6. He says, in all of your dwelling places, you know, places like Kansas City and St. Louis and New York and Chicago, shall be laid waste. And the high places, that is your capitals, Jefferson City, Springfield, Illinois, Salem, Oregon, Sacramento, California, your high places shall be desolate, and your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. During World War II, we laid two cities waste, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, we wasted a couple of cities, you know, like Tokyo and Berlin, Dresden. Now, he says, I'm going to do that to your Israelite cities. I'm going to do that to New York, Chicago, Sydney, Melbourne, Wellington, Montreal. I mean, come on, guys. I'm just giving you a report now. Pay attention. I'm not sure that those are places where you want to be. I don't think that the people of Canada are going to repent in sackcloth and ashes like the people of Nineveh. I think they're going to go right on doing what they're doing. Now, there's a few of you Canadians up there that if you were smart and you got out of Vancouver and Montreal, maybe you left Toronto, maybe if some of you, you know, said, well, maybe I ought to start practicing this law, maybe I ought to start getting my act cleaned up, you might be able to get yourself into that little group of hairs bound up in Ezekiel's skirt, that 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal yet. Because your cities are going to be laid waste. He goes on, he says in verse 7, the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. Yet will I leave a remnant, that you may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations when you shall be scattered through the countries. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which has departed from me, and with their eyes which go a-whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all of their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Eternal, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. So if you think that the old man, you know, if you think God is whistling Dixie through a straw hat now, remember these words. If you're one of those that survive, and you've been deported. Now remember, a third of you are going to die from famine and pestilence. Then a third of you are going to die in the war. The last third are going to be carried into captivity. And when it's all said and done, one-tenth are going to be kept alive for seed stock after the Messiah comes back. One-tenth. You'll see that, I think, in Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 6:13. Let me whip over here just quickly and see if that's correct. Sometimes I make these citations and then I'm out to lunch and somebody writes me a letter and says, hey, you dummy. Yep. Isaiah 6:13, he says, but yet in it shall a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a peel tree and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so that the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Holy seed, talking about the children of Israel. Going to save a tenth of us alive. Now, there's a bunch of us. If you take all the people in Germany and Switzerland and Denmark, Canada and, you know, Ireland and so on, Britain, America, you know, there's a bunch of us out here. When he gets all through, there's going to be a tenth of us left alive. Yeah, that's a little different than Sweet Jesus, ain't it? Now, you never heard about this guy, have you? This is a little different story than you got in church. Of course, if you'll remember, the Messiah told you. Remember in Matthew 24, I showed you this last time. He said, you got to watch out because you got a bunch of false prophets out there. They're talking about me. They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about Christians. They're talking about the good guy over here, you know. But they're deceiving you. They're lying to you. Now, this guy's not a bad guy. He's a pretty good guy. But he's not taking any guff off of you. And that's my point. and this famine that he's talking about coming upon America. I mean, this is going to be something new for us. You know, we've never lived without shoes. We've lived deliciously, delicately. You know, we're at the top of the food chain. We're like eagles, you know. We're up here at the top of the food chain. Unlike the Chinese and the Indians and the other poor people in the world. He goes on, he says a little more. He says, "And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations where they shall be carried captives." That's verse 9. You will remember. You will remember God, your Creator, when you're in national captivity. I'm sitting here saying, do you have to go into national captivity? Do you have to go through this kind of punishment to learn? You mean you can't put your mind to this and figure out, hey, listen, I don't think that we can continue to spend $700 billion a year in our balance of payments trade deficit forever. Has it come to your attention that at some point in time, those Chinese and Indians and other nations around the world are going to shut you off like they did the Argentines a couple of years back? I mean, come on, guys. You mean to tell me that you can pump 160% of the water in the aquifer up in Nebraska out to grow that hybrid corn? That GM-modified crap that you were told not to grow, you think you can do that and that water's just going to last forever? Do you believe that? You think you can take 5 million acres a year and pave it over and waste it and destroy it and you'll still have more land than when you started out? Oftentimes I ask my students, my God, troops, do you think we have maybe taken leave of our senses? Verse 11, he says, "Thus saith the Eternal, smite with your hand and stamp with your foot. And you say, alas, for all of the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence." You know, you got sodomites by the tens of thousands. They claim that they've got, see if I got this number, 10% of the population of the nation are now sodomites. That'd be 28 million. Our cities are filled with these sodomites, and they've got laws that they've been passing here lately, and especially you Canadians up there. You know, you Canadians have these hate crimes, you know. I mean, if I get on the air and I say, hey, that guy over there is a queer, and that's against the law and violates the law of God, you want to arrest me and throw me in prison. Okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success up there in the Northlands. But I got news for you, troops. There is a God in Israel, and you're putting the branch to his nose. And it's coming to an end. I don't know when. Not a prophet. I ain't telling you next year. I'm just telling you, at some point in time, the old man's going to go ballistic on you. And he says he's going to use famine and pestilence and war. So don't think that you Canadians now are going to get away scot-free. Those chinks, when they get over here to California, Washington, and Oregon, are only a stone's throw away from Vancouver and Alberta and Saskatchewan. Now he that's far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword. He that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus shall I accomplish my fury upon them. And then shall you know that I am the Eternal, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars, upon every high hill, in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all of their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblah, in all of their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Eternal. Let me just run through a couple of numbers here for you. You Canadians up there now, listen to this. 30 million of you up there. If we take a third and we killed you with the famine and pestilence, and we take a third of you and we killed you in the war, that's 20 million of you. 20 million, 2 out of 3. And when we take the last third and we ship you off to Ethiopia, Libya, and Egypt. Now, let me show you where you're going. just in case you didn't know. In Deuteronomy 28, God tells you where he's gonna send you off to. In case you were wondering, he's pretty thorough. I mean, it's in code. It's here a little, there a little. You're not going to find the story flow over here in Ezekiel 5 and 6, but you'll find the answer in Deuteronomy 28:68, and he says, "And the Eternal shall bring you into Egypt again with ships. By the way whereof I spoke unto you, you shall see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you." You got that? You know, we came out of Egypt, and we're going back to Egypt. Now, let me tell you, boys and girls, when those Egyptians, when those Arabs get hold of you, it ain't going to be fun. Now, you want to remember, Americans and Australians, you Australians now are with us in this, right up to your eyeballs in Iraq, while we're over there stealing those Arabs' oil. Now, we've been stealing their oil for 100 years. And they didn't like it then, and they don't like it now. And when they get the upper hand, and they take you into national captivity, what do you think those Arabs are going to do to you? You want to be thinking about that before this comes down on us. Because there comes a point in time, you know, when the old man says, "I'm not going to have any pity on you." You remember that word? And he said, "You're going to cry out to me in that day, and in that day, when you cry out to me because of this king, this George Bush troop, I'm not going to hear you." Now, that's in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 18 or 19. He says, "I'm not going to listen to that crap." So I'm just sharing with you a couple of observations here. Now, I wanted to tell you this because there's a few of us out here, not too many, but, you know, there's a few of us out here that are of a mind to maybe we could do something about this. So I mentioned to you that one of the things that you need to do is to survive long enough to die in the captivity. See, our nation is so sick today that a third of us, when this famine comes upon us, we're going to die from disease. So you got to get through that problem, number one. Second thing you got to do, if you can survive the disease epidemics, you got to survive the war. If you can survive the famine, disease, and the war, then you've got to avoid the national captivity. You see your problem? Now, there's a few people that are going to do that. And I would like to think that I'm going to be one of them. I don't know that. Hell, I might die like all the rest of you, but I'm kind of in hopes, I've got high hopes here, that maybe I'll be able to avoid that. Now, I want to tell you a little story here about quinoa. Q-U-I-N-O-A. It's pronounced quinoa. K-E-E-N-W-A-H. Quinoa, the grain's genesis. Quinoa is the way this vitamin-rich grain is pronounced. It comes from the Andes Mountains in South America, where it has been in common currency for 500 years. Well, at least since some Inca farmer tossed a handful of wild seed into a patch of mountainous soil, and it came up surprisingly edible. Now, I'll tell you something here about this. These Incas down here were raising quinoa and amaranth a long time before the Spanish got down there 500 years ago. Now, they're telling us today, that is Monsanto and McDonald's and the FDA and the Department of Agriculture, that we've got to have these genetically modified seeds, and that we've got to have this industrial agriculture in order to feed all the people in the world. That's a lying sack of BS. That's what that boils down to. That's just a pack of lies. But there's a product out here called quinoa and amaranth, and after we come back from our break, I'm going to tell you a little story about this quinoa and amaranth, and I'll tell you where you can get it. And how you can use this in long-term storage. I mean, you know, if there's a famine coming, it seems like to me that you might need a little food. And I'm of the opinion that these guys that are out here storing all this gold, I mean, you know, I'm not opposed to gold and silver coin, but did you know over here in Ezekiel 7, verse 19, God said, you'll be throwing your gold and silver into the streets. And I think he's exactly right. You know, when you get down to where you're eating your children, that gold and silver is not very valuable. If you can't use your gold and silver to buy food, and you have to be running around here playing cannibal, eating your own kids, obviously that gold and silver is not too valuable. I think that we probably need a stock of food supply before we need a gold supply. The theory behind this gold is, we got all this gold, say, that avoids the inflation and the collapse of the fiat currency, and that's all well and good. Then we're going to trade our gold in and get whatever the new fiat currency is and run down to Walmart and buy our goods. Boys and girls, have you heard about this siege? Have you heard about the trade war? The siege in which there's no food available? No food available. Walmart is empty. There's nothing there to buy. What in the hell are you going to do with your gold when there's nothing in the store to buy? I don't know if these gold guys have been thinking very far ahead or not. Now, I'm not opposed to gold, and I think gold's a great, great commodity, and I think you ought to have quite a bit. As soon as you have a 4-year supply of food on hand, I think that, you know, a little gold probably puts you in good stead. You might want to buy some gasoline at $20 a gallon to put in your chainsaw to cut some firewood to keep warm in the winter. But I'm not really 100% sure that I'm going to be trading you any cranberry sauce for gold when people are out so damn hungry they're eating their own children. All right, I got to take a little break here and give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, all you have to do is call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Let's see, what else do I want to tell you here? Let's see, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. Remember that they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers or the sponsors or management or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about famine in the United States. I'm going to cover quinoa, first of all. Listen to the story on quinoa. The Incas dubbed quinoa the mother grain because it was an annual plant that was self-perpetuating and ever-bearing. They also deemed the kernel sacred, since a steady diet appeared to ensure long, full lives. The notion is not as improbable as it seems. Like amaranth, this south of the border grain is jam-packed with lysine and healthy amounts of the other amino acids that make a protein complete. Besides being a repository for phosphorus, calcium, iron, vitamin E, and absorbed B vitamins, all of which sounds like a lifesaver diet, no matter how you stir the pot. The name quinoa was reputedly tagged on the innocent grain by Francisco Pizarro himself, shortly after he and his army straggled across the Inca stronghold to Cuzco in 1532. According to Peruvian lore, once Pizarro tasted a bowl of cooked quinoa, he demanded to see where this seed grew. When he had climbed the Andean plateau and studied the plant's tall stalks and brilliant blossoms lightly dusted with snow, the great conquistador is said to have murmured, "Quimera, fantastic. The word was misheard and misquoted forever after. Pizarro made another comment about quinoa that was somewhat closer to the cutting edge. He called it the grain that grows where grass will not. Now, quinoa is yet another mini grain of maxi purpose in the kitchen, not quite so diminutive as amaranth. This pale yellowish seed looks like a cross between mustard and millet, and it bears an ever so slight grassy scent that disappears as it cooks. Technically not a cereal grain at all. Agrobotanists dub quinoa a dried fruit of the Chenopodium herb family, Chenopodium, Chenopodium herb family, whose best known member is a wild and spicy green known as lamb's quarter. Like lamb's quarter, quinoa's leaves are edible too and darn good in the salad bowl, but there is the culinary resemblance, or there the culinary resemblance ends. Quinoa is cultivated for its copious seed, which may be prepared whole or blended into creamy yet relatively low-fat amalgams. Quinoa is truly crammed with protein, and a cup cooked is equal to a quart of milk in calcium content. More than merely nutritive, this is a grain of decided savor, although its culinary capabilities are largely untried by many cooks. Happily, times and tastes are changing. What was once an exclusive prerogative of the Peruvians and Bolivians is on its way to North American tables today. Now, I'm going to point out to you that quinoa was prohibited by the Spaniards, so that they could starve the Incas and the Aztecs out. Did the same thing with amaranth. Just like we did with the buffalo here in North America. Kill all these Indians' buffaloes and starve them out. Amaranth is another grain. Amaranth is a new grain that's actually as old as the hills, a seed of mystical attributes. 500 years ago, the Aztecs believed that a single spoonful could turn a softy into a hunk, and that a steady diet would produce a race of honest-to-gosh supermen. As a consequence, the Aztecs grew lots of amaranth. Over 20,000 tons were harvested, chaffed, winnowed, and then sent by mule team, ox cart, and broad men's backs to what is now Mexico City as a yearly tribute to the Emperor Montezuma. And as a source of energy and fortitude, amaranth was as important to the Aztecs as the corn and beans that kept them alive. When Hernando Cortes, the Spanish conquistador and a good churchgoer, despite his bloody reputation, observed these doings for the first time, he was so offended that supposedly he could not speak for a week. In Cortes's mind, the Aztec ritual was a mockery of the Christian communion that he had been raised to revere, and the only punishment he could conceive of to fit the crime was total obliteration. Now, let me tell you where you can get the quinoa and amaranth. Remember this guy I told you about? His name is Jerry Gettle. Well, why don't you call Jerry Gettle in that Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds? Let me give you his name, number, and phone here, and then see if you can get some. Now, as a matter of fact, I don't have any of this quinoa or amaranth in stock, and I'm going to get some. I told the wife the other day I thought we probably ought to get some. Jerry Gettle is the guy's name. I'm just called Jerry at Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, 2278 Baker Creek Road. Why don't you get his address down? 2278 Baker Creek Road, Mansfield, Missouri. Just up the road a piece from where I live here in Isabella. 50 miles north, Mansfield, Missouri. The zip code 65704. I'd call the guy first. Here's his phone number. It's 417-924-8917. Again, that's area code 817-924-8917. Baker Creek. Now call the guy up and tell him, hey, listen, dude, I'd like to get some quinoa. And that's spelled Q-U-I-N-O-A. And I know you're going to call him up and say, I need some of that quinoa or quinoa, something like that. No, it's called quinoa. Quinoa. That's the way you pronounce it. and amaranth. Can you get some of that? Now, you can buy that stuff in little 5-pound packages in a health food store. Hiring a cat's back. But I think that if you had some of that and you started eating it, I think you could straighten out some of your health problems. That would help you get through this disease portion of the problem so that you can live long enough to die in the war or be carried into captivity. I mean, you can't be carried into captivity if you've died from some contagious disease. All right, that's one guy. Now, I'll tell you about this juice guy here in a little bit. But I want to tell you one more story. Over here in Revelation chapter 18 is a little story that I think applies to the United States of America. I'm going to tell you why here in just a second. Revelation chapter 18. This is really a nasty book. This book of Revelation, I mean, this is a scary book. It talks about death and destruction on scales that only you can read about in the Bible. Preachers, Christian preachers, they avoid the book of Revelation and Ezekiel, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, like they avoid AIDS, herpes, and VD. It just scares the living hell out of all of them. And I don't blame them. I mean, if I was out here trying to represent the God of creation with the kind of nonsense and pulpit parrot rhetoric that they give you in church, you know, on Sunday, and especially after what Jesus said about preachers in Luke chapter 11. I mean, there's an earful for you. If I was a preacher, I would quit in the morning. If I was a preacher and I was getting my paycheck from some church and I read Luke chapter 11, I would quit instantly in my own self-interest. But anyway, in Revelation chapter 18, verse 8, there's a statement made here. It says, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her." Well, you know, that's taken out of context. I'm going to put it in context here in a minute. But, you know, if that was speaking of Canada, or the United States, or Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, you know, if that's talking about you, that's pretty heavy-duty speech, wouldn't you say? Listen to this again. It's Revelation 18:8. He said, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day." Well, even if you used a day for a year, you know, okay, if it came upon you in a year, the destruction of America in one year would be pretty heavy-duty, don't you think? The destruction of Australia in one year would be pretty heavy duty if it could be done in 24 hours, which I'm not sure that that's what it's talking about, but maybe. Hey, listen, a nuclear attack on 4 or 5 cities in Australia ought to just about do you boys in. A nuclear attack on 10 cities in Canada and you guys are out of it. What the hell are you going to do about it? Now think about that. He says, "Death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire." Now, that sounds like nuclear bomb war to me. Now, I showed you that in Ezekiel 6:6, didn't I? "Our cities laid waste." Hey, we haven't seen that since Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, why do I think it's referring to the United States? Well, listen to this. Let's start in in Revelation chapter 18. Revelation 18. This is written by John. Now, John was one of the Messiah's disciples. He wrote the book of John in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote Revelation. Now, listen to this. He says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Well, all through the Bible, this word Babylon is used about like the word whore. I mean, it's about the worst thing that can happen to you. It refers to an evil, wicked system of government, an evil, wicked system of religion. It to whoredoms and so on. I mean, it's a euphemism for wickedness and evil, Babylon. And it refers to the United States of America. This is that Babylon spoken of in the Bible. Not the ancient city of Babylon, which was destroyed many generations or many centuries and millennia ago, but to the modern Babylon. That's the United States today. Now listen to this. Keep listening. Keep that in mind and just listen to this. Verse 3 says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." What other nation in the world could you make that statement about? Verse 4, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." You know, that sounds like excommunication or expatriation. That sounds like, you know, you ought to give up. You ought to rescind your voting card. Maybe you ought to send your Social Security card back. Maybe you ought to maybe send back your birth certificate and get rid of your marriage license and maybe start practicing the law of God. You know, that's what that sounds like to me. Verse 5, he says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she has filled full to her double." How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, "I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." You know, we Americans sit over here and say, no famine will ever come to America. We're too wealthy. We're too rich. We're too powerful. We have nuclear weapons. Well, think about that for a minute, because in the scripture here, God says he's going to destroy us suddenly. He said he's going to make us an astonishment, a byword among the nations. That's why I think Revelation 18 is referring to the United States, based upon Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Now, you put those chapters together, they fit right in here with Revelation 18. He says in verse 7, "How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously." Can you think of any nation in the world that lives better than the United States of America? I told you earlier on, I can go down to my local town and country supermarket today. They have strawberries in the frozen food section 365 days a year. I tell you, boys and girls, Solomon, with all of his money, all of his wives, and all of his glory, could not eat strawberries 365 days a year. I live better than Solomon ever thought of living. 747s bring in raspberries from New Zealand in December. You know, we get raspberries here in June, July. I can have raspberries fresh raspberries. I can have fresh berries from Guatemala. I eat bananas year-round, and they come from the tropics. Solomon never did that. "So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her, and a lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning." Well, you know, we're talking about a nation here. How do you see the smoke of a nation's burning? Isn't it when you see the cities bombed? Boys and girls, those Chinese and Russians ain't coming over here with 500-pounders. When they come over here, they're going to be coming over here with 20 megatonners. Now, the Bible talks about nuclear bomb war, talks about famine, disease, talks about war, national captivity, talks about us giving the finger to our God and says, here's what I'm going to do about that. I'm going to eat your lunch. Nice guy, but, you know, he's about to the end of the road. He's not going to put up with this much longer. So that's Revelation chapter 18. I just thought I'd share that one with you. Now, I want to give you one more reminder here. Remember I told you a couple of weeks ago about a book here called Natural Remedies Encyclopedia? This Natural Remedies Encyclopedia, over 11,000 inexpensive home remedies, covers 730 diseases and disorders, prescriptions from nature's storehouse. Well, boys and girls, when this thing comes down, you may not have the money. You may not be able to go to your local doctor or clinic or hospital. And you may find, in all of this death and destruction, that you might need some of these herbs. Now, I think there's 82 or 83 of these herbs. I'd have to go upstairs and count them again. But we got a rack upstairs that contains all these herbs. There's also some essential oils. One of these days I'll tell you about the essential oil story. But these herbs are pretty important because all of these herbs contain mega doses of vitamins and minerals. Yeah, that's right. See, you take that lamb's quarter that this guy was just talking about, lamb's quarter. Well, listen, lamb's quarter is an herb. It's a weed, they call it out here, you know. But it contains three times the calcium that spinach does. You know, Popeye pops a can of spinach out and he sucks the spinach down. Well, I want to tell you that this lamb's quarter has three times as much calcium as does that spinach. Now, that lamb's quarter is an herb. See? Now, there's about 83 of these herbs. So when you're starving to death, like you are at McDonald's, and you need to reverse that out, what you do is you go to these herbs. And this Natural Remedies Encyclopedia tells you about how to use these herbs to get these mega vitamins so that you can cure all of these diseases. When you've got lumps in your breast, ladies, and you got breast cancer over here, what you want is barley green. Barley green. My wife gets lumps in her breast every once in a while. She's had cancer for 28 years. And what that is, it's a symptom of the plugging up of your lymph nodes underneath your armpits. So what the allopathic surgeon does, he cuts your tits off, cuts out your lymph system, leaves you flat-chested and probably ready to die within the next 5 years after he has mutilated you, ladies. Charged you $100,000 and you're an invalid for the rest of your life. All you needed was barley green. You can buy it for $7.95 in the health food store. Now, Natural Remedies Encyclopedia show you how to use it. And you can get this Natural Remedies Encyclopedia from Jerry at Baker Creek Seeds. Remember that? Jerry at Baker Creek Seeds. Can you remember that? Natural Remedies Encyclopedia, $30 is what he told the wife the other day. Let me give you his name and number again. It's 417-924-8917. That's area code 417-924-8917. Now, last thing I want to tell you here in the last 5 or 6 minutes. Pay attention. Sharpen your pencil now. On both ends is the juicer. Now, this juicer over here can save your life. This juicer, juice. The guy you want to talk to about juice now is that student I told you about up in Illinois. His name is Brian Nevius. And he'll send you some information. We'll call him on the telephone and say, listen, I need some information. And I remember he said, I saved the best for last. He says, this is for people who are dealing with health issues. And he quotes Richard Schultz of California as a famous natural healer and has cured many patients of serious health problems. Schultz says on one of his videos that I have never seen anything make such a dramatic change in a patient's health than when he's using a juice extractor. Ladies, when you have cancer and some guy says, I'm going to cut off your breasts, why don't you go home first before you spend $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 on mutilation? Get yourself a juicer and start drinking juice and see if that doesn't clear it up first. Now, oftentimes what happens is that you go to the medical doctor, he gives you chemotherapy, cut, burn, and poison, cuts off what he can, and you're left to die. Then you say, well, now that I've tried everything and the doc says that I'm still going to die, now I'll try the juicer. It won't work. Won't work. Here's why. You see, when they cut off your breasts, they cut out your lymph system. When they impair your immune system, cut out your lymphs, they've destroyed your immune system. Without your immune system, your body cannot heal itself. It's a tragedy, but people call here quite often and they say, gee, I've gone through chemotherapy and all these thingies over here, and I still have the cancer and they were unable to cure it. You go to the allopathic medical doctor first, he'll kill you. What you do is you try the juice first. Now, before you get cancer, why don't you prevent cancer? Why don't you stop eating fat and blood and unclean meat first? Obey God and keep His commandments. Don't get cancer to start with. Doesn't that make more sense? Now, I know you're not going to do that, so you're going to keep eating fat and smoking camel studs until you get cancer. Then when you get cancer, you're going to go to the medical doctor, and he's going to cut, burn, and poison, destroy your immune system. Then you're going to call me and say, now what do I do, Mr. Gordon? Put your head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye. That's what you do next, dude. Now let's wake up and use our heads, boys and girls. It's time to start acting like adults. Cut, burn, and poison doesn't work. 37% of the time you'll live for 5 years, and 63% of the time you'll die dead all over, just like Rover. Now call Brian first and make sure that you get a juicer and a sprouter. A juicer and a sprouter. His number is 309-473-2141. Now, that's the juice man. You get the seeds from Jerry. Now, I don't know. Maybe Brian's got seeds. I think he does. I think Brian's got sprouting seeds, if I remember right. And we get our seeds from Baker Creek. Now, ask Brian about seeds and about sprouting. It will cure your cancer. Now, I can't tell you that because, you see, cancer is a copyrighted trademark that belongs to the American Medical Association. But it will cure the botch of Egypt. Now, that's what common people call cancer, but it'll cure the botch of Egypt. So, when you get the botch of Egypt and you got lungs in your chest, ladies, start thinking about sprouts. Barley green. A juicer. And you'll get that juicer from Brian at 309. Got this down? Area code 309-473-2141. That's area code 309-473-2141. All right, now that's Brian Nevius. That's sprouters and juicer. And don't forget now the other guy over here, Jerry Gettle. That's the seed guy. Baker Creek Seeds. Baker Creek Seeds, 417-924-8917. Once more, that's area code 417-924-8917. And that's the story, boys and girls, on famine. Got it right straight from Ezekiel and Moses. Ezekiel and Moses. Just told you the story. I reported it. I get credit because I'm the reporter. I researched it out for you and I said, okay, check me out. I gave you the citations, gave you the information from the internet. Told you what the Department of Agriculture and the FDA and Monsanto has to say. And I told you the story here about these genetically engineered seeds. Don't forget the genetic engineered seeds. Seeds of Deception, Jeffrey M. Smith. Make sure you get that book, Seeds of Deception, Exposing Industry and Government Lies About the Safety of Genetically Engineered Foods. All right, that's it. I'm out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. We'll have something new to talk about. Remember, you're listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, economics, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. All right, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and good night, friends.